I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May we have the roll call?
Councilmember Deedy?
Here.
Councilmember Oglesby?
Here.
Councilmember Edelman?
Here.
Councilmember Stout?
Here.
Councilmember Wodnoski?
Here.
So I think for the benefit of this meeting, we'll just let Janie do it since she's the one that worked on these. And we got our attorney's comments back, so I think basically we'll probably just be going over the attorney comments and just going through the changes that he had and see if everybody agrees, then we could make it to council meeting and approve them. This one, so you guys can share the other one.
And Chris, this is really a very informal thing. It's not like a council meeting, we all can talk and interrupt and do whatever we need to do. So basically what I'd like to do is start on page one. This is our, what, third, at least third work study since the first of the year. It was real obvious that we needed to go back to the old rules that we had prior to 2016, because those had been drafted with the assistance of two attorneys. So we knew that they passed muster, but 3 years had passed, it was time to update them. So we went through. So as I go through this, I'll give you a little bit of background, like on the strikeouts and that kind of stuff, just so that you'll have a little bit better understanding of why we've done what we've done. So if we start at page 131, and you guys all have the comments from our city attorney?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So he added a new phrase in the second sentence under authority. It'll say these rules shall take effect upon adoption by resolution of the council and remain in effect. And I think that's a good comment.
Mm-hmm.
And because that is what happens, you know.
Well, and he added that section on severability.
No, wait.
Oh, you don't want it? Okay.
No, that's at the very end.
Oh, well, I just mean it was on the index.
Oh, no, don't even look at the table of contents, because I'm going to sit down with Brenda when we get a chance and make sure that it's all formatted correctly. I know enough about Word to be dangerous. That doesn't mean I know what I'm doing all the time. So when it looks kind of odd, oh, and you've got a different, you got a different version.
We have the one that was sent to us by Linehan. This is Linehan's version with his comments on the side panel.
That looks the same.
I know, but you don't have the side panel.
I don't have the side one.
So you need to.
I don't.
Oh, okay.
Because I've already been through this. So.
As long as your pages are the same page numbers as ours.
Well,
you have
be.
One of 31, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So then, Chris, just for you, back when these rules were first generated, back when Andy Williamson was on the city council, so 12, 14 years ago, it became obvious that they needed to put down in writing what their rules of procedure were. So there were a lot of places where all they did was regurgitate the Revised Code of Washington and or Robert's Rules of Order. So we're in a position now, especially in this first section, RCW 35A-12-100, that describes the duties of the mayor. All we need to do is refer to that, and we cannot look it up. And it's actually, I think it's in the back of the, did you get your binder yet?
No.
Okay. When you get your binder.
I was like, I have a binder. I don't know if it's.
No, don't have
a binder.
Except for me.
No.
Oh, no.
A council member handbook binder?
We don't
Good,
have
she interrupted you.
Oh.
Everybody's supposed to have one of those.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And anybody who doesn't.
He's enlightened.
Okay, moving on. But basically, we deleted regurgitating all of the words from the
just
advice.
Just references stuff?
Just reference it. I think especially this group here is pretty computer savvy, we can.
You can click on a link.
Yeah. So that basically eliminates most of page one and all of page two. Another comment I have, section 2.1, I'll just use as an example. The last phrase at the very end says see section, it was 2.11, then it was 2.9, now it's 2.12. Don't pay any attention to those. Brenda and I will go through and make sure that we have the right annotation there for where it falls later on in the document. Then when we get into 2.2, all these highlighted areas are things that our city attorney added. Mm-hmm. But somehow, and there have been so many iterations of this, there's a section that got deleted. And I only brought four versions with me tonight. Mm-hmm. It's just crazy. So what I want to put back in, came from originally in the old version 3.1. I'm going to just read this for you, Chris. It says, all items to be included on the agenda for consideration at a council meeting should be submitted to the city clerk in full no later than 10 a.m. 9 days prior to the scheduled council meeting. Once the agenda has been finalized and provided to the city council, items added to the agenda may be declined or to be considered by the council at the meeting for which the agenda was prepared until a future council meeting date, which shall be specified by the council. Some of that's already in here. David made a couple of comments, but what's really important that got left out is providing whatever needs to be on the agenda by basically the Tuesday week prior to the council meeting. Brenda needs to have enough time to do what she needs to do to get into the packet by Friday.
That's included here.
It is.
It is.
I missed it.
So right. Just about the yellow.
I guess it's put, yeah. All right, never mind.
So I think this wording right here is...
That's the good wording.
I think it's all correct.
Yeah, yeah. Right, yeah. And I didn't have a problem with any of that wording at all.
The attorney added, I think, published. I don't think published was in the report.
Published, right.
Yeah.
Prior to publication.
Okay, so we're all good with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then... Okay, up on 2.4, I want to just talk about it. I think it's on the next page, on page 4. It should be at the top of page 4. This wasn't a new one, but we've talked about it before, that the mayor pro tem, or majority of the city council may, on an emergency basis, cancel a meeting due to unforeseen circumstances. Mm-hmm. This requires an ordinance change, because the city council meetings and the work studies are by ordinance. So the only way we can cancel is if we have an ordinance. So it's already drafted. David has it. He was going to review it. So our plan right now is, what I'd like to do is have this ready to go for our first meeting in April. And then at the same time, David will have the resolution ready to go too. So we'll pass them both at the same time.
Okay.
Why could we share?
So, Councilmember Deedy, so on the part where it says the mayor pro tem, or majority of the city council may on an emergency basis cancel a meeting due to unforeseen events. So the mayor can cancel a meeting and three council members. The only time the mayor pro tem can cancel a meeting is in the absence of the mayor. So the mayor pro tem doesn't have a higher anything over us. That person still has to have a majority vote. Mm-hmm. As a council member. They can't override the mayor, and so it would have to be the mayor's gone, and Janie's our pro tem. Mm-hmm. So she can step in and say, because staff or the police or the fire department have said there's an emergency, you need to cancel. So just a clarification.
Yeah, use a huge snowstorm as an example, right, that we would not be able to to have our meeting.
Safety issue.
Yeah, and it's, and it is farther in here when it talks about the duties of the mayor pro tem.
So do they, do we want to have them revise that last sentence with saying like the mayor pro tem or majority of the council, like in absence of the mayor?
Well, it doesn't have to be safe, because that's a known fact.
Because that's what the revised code of Washington says. And we're going to talk, we can talk about that when we get into the mayor pro tem section.
Okay.
We actually decided not to include that description every time, because it does fall under, there's a description of the duties of the mayor pro tem. So we just decided it's known what those responsibilities are, so we decided not to talk about it every time.
Well, and to reduce the amount of redundancy.
Yep.
I mean, it's like, you don't have to say it again and then say it again.
Yeah.
Well, and I understand where you're coming from on this sentence, because, Councilmember Dee, because when I read it, and if I'm anybody, residents, I'd read it and say, okay, the mayor can cancel at any time for an emergency. Janie, whoever's the mayor pro tem, can cancel at any time, and then three council members. So it is a little confusing if you just read this part.
But I guess my other comment to that too is, these are our rules. They're not the public's rules. The public doesn't get a vote on these. These are our rules, and we're going to do what the city council wants us to do. So, okay. Moving down to section 2.8. There's some additions by David. I didn't have any problems with it.
No, I was, so, Councilmember Dee, in reading through all of David's revisions, I didn't really see any issues with what he had added.
No, I think most, everything that he added, some of it was just correcting some grammar or adding, you know,
making it clear.
Yeah. He didn't have any legal problems with what we had before. So, okay, if you're okay with 2.8, then we'll go to 2.8, it's now going to probably be 2.10 on page 5. We had changed it, the title used to just be executive sessions, now we're making executive and closed sessions, because sometimes if we go in to talk about, I think it was labor issues.
Yeah, so labor.
That's a closed session. Meeting, that's not an executive meeting.
Oh, okay.
An executive meeting is like when we went in to discuss you.
Also legal issues, or if they're, like if we were going to buy or sell property, right?
Right.
Exactly.
That requires an executive session, so we're not disclosing our plan to the community at large until we're going to do it.
Yeah, and it's a lot of times it's pursuant to a specific revised code of Washington statute for potential litigation, that kind of thing. So under that, under the second paragraph there, David added any. So we can have an executive session during any of our meetings, whether they're study sessions, council meetings, special meetings. And then in the next paragraph, he added a long sentence, and I think this is a really important section. When we go into executive session, that's attorney-client privilege. We don't divulge what goes on in those meetings to anybody, except of talking amongst ourselves. So,
and even our spouses.
There is a spousal exemption.
Exemption.
Yeah, so like, let's say one of us gets arrested. The husband doesn't have to, yeah, let's say.
Aaron got arrested?
No, but let's start that rumor. So,
Aaron was shoplifting at Fred Meyer.
Oh, could be.
She's there a lot.
I've heard that. But so is your wife.
With my wife.
They both got arrested.
We'll blame it on Ansel. He doesn't know.
For the record, let's just say we're using a hypothetical scenario.
Yes, thank you. No.
Yes.
Anybody, let's say, and this is not just related to us. This is out in just the regular world.
Right.
If a I'm gonna pick on the men, because it's usually the men that are in trouble. So the guy gets arrested, they want to talk to the wife, and she doesn't have to answer the questions. She has spousal privilege, that's what
they call it.
So, use your discretion is what I would say.
Councilmember Deedy, so I would say don't tell anybody, just to keep your spouse out of all of the political, and so they don't accidentally slip up and say something to somebody, or just, you know, they get questioned, and yes, they could plead the fifth, but they may want to answer because they don't want to hide anything, so.
Or maybe they forget.
Right, so it's just best just to not speak.
Yeah, no, I've been training Sean that way. Don't ask questions, I tell them.
Most of the stuff we do, you can talk about, and you know,
most of it's public record.
It's public record anyway.
Executive session.
And I don't foresee in our near future some of the issues that we've had in the past, and you know, honestly, sometimes you need a sounding board, and I don't have a problem with that.
Okay.
And I don't know that David does either, because he and I have had that conversation. So are you, pardon me?
Those are my dogs for.
Yeah, you talked, yeah.
Little Tony.
Yeah, my cat too, except that he has a tendency to talk back. Okay, no problems with the sentence that starts with discussions? Okay.
Is the next one disruption of meeting?
Well, that's one that we've already talked about.
So David just had on the side note, who gets to make this call? Can the mayor or presiding officer act alone? See rule 4.2.1, or does it require a vote of the council to eject someone from disruptiveness? So we need to make that clarified. Who?
So maybe you should just put by majority of council.
This version, because I just printed mine off at home.
The last sentence on that page, if necessary to restore order, the council may order the meeting room cleared.
So I.
That's always been there.
Yeah.
So, but that's what I'm saying, that gives some description of who is responsible. The council is responsible.
But that's different than removing somebody. That's just saying if people are disruptive, you can clear the room.
Okay.
And not necessarily letting somebody go. So if you wanted to make it majority, the council, you would have to add that, maybe ordered, removed by the majority of council.
Yeah, and I think since it is our meeting, I think it should state that the council has a vote to have somebody removed.
So in that case, would someone make a motion?
Yes.
I move that
we ask
a disruptive person,
Brock Deedy, be removed from the room. Yeah.
And then we vote. And then he's invited to leave
or
stay. Escorted.
Yeah, or stay. Because you take a vote, and if you don't have a majority vote, he can stay.
Okay.
But if there's a majority vote that he needs to leave because he's being disruptive of the meeting, then he needs to leave because the council has asked. So I think
so
that.
So what should be at there? Maybe order removed.
Maybe ordered removed by majority vote of council.
It needs to be a vote of the council to eject someone for disruptiveness.
Do you want it to be a majority of the council or
yes.
a supermajority of the council?
I would say a majority. I would say
okay.
just a majority, don't you
yeah,
think?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think
we're saving supermajority for
really important
things that like change.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Our function.
Mm-hmm. I believe.
Like these rules.
Correct. Okay.
So at any time during our council meeting, if we find somebody destructive and then we can make a motion?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think we'll have that too much problem anymore in the future, but.
Oh, so it says, he said look at 4.2.1.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Preserve order and decorum at all meetings of the council and cause the removal of any person from any meeting for disorderly conduct.
And
so
isn't
maybe,
that mayor?
So he's asking.
Yeah.
Presiding officer.
So you could just say mayor or majority vote of the council.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what Robert Rules is, right? It's usually the.
Yep.
Presiding officer of the meeting.
Right, right.
People for being disabled.
So I'm fine with adding the mayor onto that.
Okay.
Bad vote.
We're skipping over a lot of things that we've talked about without you. I would say, if anything jumps out at you that you want to talk about.
Yeah, you know, when I perused this last night, I didn't see anything that jumped out at me that was weird or caught my attention really big.
Yeah.
Okay, then we're going to move over to section 3 on page 6. So again, 3.1 moved over to 2.2. And then we added on 3.4, whatever the new number may be, we added agenda review and approval because it needs to be, well, let me back up a little bit, because what we're into now is how the agenda reads and the order of our business. So we start out with the call to order, the flag salute, the roll call. Then somebody would move.
So when you do the agendas for now,
would move to have, you know, review the agenda, and someone would move to approve the agenda at the beginning of the meeting. If someone has something they need to add to the agenda, then they can do that before we approve it. And it really doesn't mean that you can't later on in the meeting, if something were to come up and we needed to add something to the agenda, it's a matter of go to the council to add it.
Well, even like at the last meeting, I added that street change. Under my report.
Right, and the mayor has the authority to add anything she wants to the agenda. And we cannot unilaterally just go, well, we don't like that, and take it off. That's not in our purview at all. So
you can just not vote for it.
Right, right. So, okay, so are you okay with the words on 3.4?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is flag salute like some type of polite way to say Pledge of Allegiance? Is there a reason it's flag salute instead of Pledge of Allegiance? Just because it's shorter? Or?
It's flag salute.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's always called the flag salute.
I think we salute the flag with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Oh, okay.
I think is how.
And then people that are in the military, that's what they do.
No, that's true. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
And sometimes we get to do that 3 or 4 times. Like today, we'll have 3 times. We did it at the community center today, and then we're going to do it for this part of the meeting, and then we'll do it for the town hall. So we will be
very patriotic.
There you go.
Patriotic. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so then moving on to 3.6 on page 7, David added under F, approval of interlocal agreements or other contracts, because we do have other contracts besides. So. On page 8, I really appreciated this because he gave us a little bit of extra oomph. In the thickness, if you guys watch commercials for Food Network. you know what I'm talking about? The gal shoots, pours this flour into a pie crust, and it adds a little oops to the thickness, because she's one of the worst cooks in America. Anyway, citing in that case, the RCW 4217A555 gives us the authority right there. We can go look that up and read it.
Yeah.
Okay. Then the next one that he's got highlighted looks like it's on page 10. We've had a lot of discussions about what's an appropriate absence. And so he added, because we decided it needed to be more than I have to wash my hair. And so.
Or I'm just not going to show up.
Or I just don't want to show up. Yeah.
I'm stuck on 405.
It's in the list.
Because I did see later that there's a piece that says you can attend electronically. So I was like, oh, I can just dial in if I'm stuck in traffic.
Please,
you know how many conference calls I do that to?
Please pull over.
Yeah. What I would suggest to Chris is that if you get stuck on 405 and you're going to miss part of the meeting, just call the mayor or Brenda and let them know.
Yeah, I would let somebody know. I wouldn't just not show up.
And calling is good from the standpoint of, I don't have a city phone. I use my personal phone. I don't want any text messages on my phone, but calling is not restricted, so you can call me or Brenda, but I don't use a city phone, so I don't want any texts on my personal phone.
No. You shouldn't have, don't use your phone for any of that kind of stuff. For telephone calling, it's fine. But, it's not worth the risk.
Because eventually, it's probably going to be included in PDRs. If you use your personal phone, it becomes public document, so.
Yeah.
So I didn't have a problem with what he added there.
Yeah, absences shall also be excused for the death of a family member. And that's some of these things are just maybe correcting English. He didn't put a whole lot of extra legalese in here.
So he's just saying this is, looks redundant.
This is redundant to Rule 4.4. Which is limitations on political speech. Mm-hmm. So,
I think just remove
let's
that.
Let's just remove 5.4.
Yeah.
And then after this meeting tonight, we can all turn ours into Brenda, and then if none of us have the same thing on it, she can ask you the question.
That wasn't my initial plan, nor Brenda's from the shaking of her head. I'm gonna ask you a question.
I haven't
Because 4.4 falls under the presiding officer's duties. Do we want to delete 4.4 and leave 5.4? Because 5.4 falls under council members. I'm just throwing it out there. No. I whatever you folks would like is
fine. I think just deleting 5.4.
Yeah, because 4.4 is the presiding officer saying that, and that's the position you should be taking.
And you can rule. Yeah. Okay. All right, well then let's get rid of
5.4.
That. Okay.
Speaking of...
No, go ahead.
It's a comment for later.
Oh, okay. Just don't forget it. Okay, moving on to page 12. The new section 6.6. David added or suspension.
Yeah.
Because sometimes
we suspend
the rules rather than waive the rules. Yeah. That may just be just using different language, but I think that's.
But it's in Robert's rules.
And it's in Robert's rules. Yeah. So, yeah. And there are times when we may want to suspend the rules. Okay, then, looks like page 17. Okay, the sentence is a resolution must be passed by an affirmative vote of at least a majority of the whole membership of the council. If passed, the resolution becomes effective immediately. David is saying this is not required by state law, except in the case of resolutions for the payment of money. Other types of resolutions can be adopted by a majority of those present, as long as there is a quorum. That's a really good comment. Mm-hmm. Is this the council's intent? No, I don't. I mean, personally, just want a quorum. We don't need the whole membership.
Correct.
So do you want to change whole membership to quorum?
Yes.
Does somebody else want to say yes to?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, we can reach consensus, and we can't do the vote in these meetings, but we can reach a consensus, and that's perfectly fine.
Okay, good idea.
Okay, next one, it looks like page 21.
So this is the same question he had that we just answered.
Yeah.
So.
And that's why we do say a quorum of the council here, so we're good with that.
Oh, so this says majority of the council, not just a quorum.
Majority vote of a quorum of the council.
Yeah, he's saying, compare to rule 9.2 above, resolutions require majority of whole council, not just a quorum.
Well, he's just saying that's what it says, but we just changed it.
Is it?
We just changed it to a majority vote of the quorum of the council.
Right.
Yeah, so now they match.
So now they match.
Yeah.
Exactly.
From the last one.
Yeah.
Back to section 13, that paragraph, annually at the first meeting of a new council, we talked about not calling it new, just the first meeting.
Like I said, I got too many different versions. What was that, 9.2?
No, section 13, the paragraph just.
Yeah, so we're going to get rid of new.
The.
And change it to the. And part of the reason, this is kind of screwy, is that a lot of the cities elect mayor pro tems and some of these other positions.
Deputy or whatever.
For a two-year term. They run it on the same cycle as the elections. For whatever reason, we don't do that. But, you know, this works for us. We'll just change that to new, or to the, okay? Then we go down under section 15. David added by the mayor. So if the mayor says to Mr. Linehan he doesn't need to be here, that's the authority, because Mr. Linehan works for the mayor. We also get to discuss, we can talk to him and we can do all the stuff. He's also our city attorney too, but the direct line is to the mayor. Okay?
And in the past, before the last 2 years, we actually did have, when Carol Morris came and we didn't have a controversial things on the agenda, we would tell her not to come because she was coming from Gig Harbor and it cost us extra money.
Yeah.
So, Councilmember Deeds, so I would say that if you, as a council member, have a feeling that you need the city attorney there, one, get a hold of the city attorney and talk to him, or get a hold of the mayor and say, here's my reasons why I feel that a city attorney should be there, if the mayor's already stated that she doesn't feel like one's going to be there. So we can have some pull. We can contact the mayor and say, we feel that a city attorney should be there at this night's meeting. So it's just communication, letting the mayor know, you know, if you feel that one should be there.
Okay. Then we went on to 24 or 23, as the case it is here.
Kind of question real quick. On coming on again with Tammy's comment, if you should ever choose not to have the lawyer there, if that's something that, you know, or we get further in the future or we think we don't need it, is it something that you would send out an email to all the council members letting us know that?
Not necessarily, no. I never did in the past. Okay. I just would look at the agenda, and if there's nothing controversial, I would just tell her that she didn't have to attend. Mm-hmm. And it was usually that she would call me and say, right, do I need to attend this meeting? That's right. How it usually got initiated, because she would look at the agenda and go, there isn't anything that I'm going to be adding to this meeting. And so she would call me and ask if she should be there.
Especially when, in her case, we were paying portal to portal.
No, I understand. I'm just thinking, like, in the future, if that should happen, and like Tim's, you know, letting you know, like, well, I would like to speak to the, giving us a chance to know that you're not gonna have the attorney there, and give us a council member a chance to contact the attorney prior to the meeting, if we had any questions, if we know they're not gonna be there. For some situations, I guess. I don't know.
Well, and here's my personal perspective, is that we all now have our committee assignments.
Right.
And we have the opportunity to talk to the staff. I would be talking to the staff first before I talk to the attorney. I don't foresee it being a big problem.
Of course. Well, yeah, I mean, we never foresee anything in the future until it is added to us.
Before the last 2 years, I didn't talk to the city attorney very often. I talked to the staff, and I knew what they were proposing, and I understood what was going on. But, you know, when we get into contracts and that kind of stuff, chances are we're going into it. The big contracts, we're going to an executive session. If MDRT wants another contract for one of their subs, you know, Andy's the guy to talk to about it. But all those contracts get reviewed by the city attorney.
Yeah, so everything that's on the agenda gets reviewed by the attorney.
Yeah.
So if the attorney says, do I have to be there tonight? And I say no, that's because there isn't anything that concerns the attorney on the agenda. And he would probably know better than you or I would know. Mm-hmm. So if he initiates that and says, do I have to be there tonight? Because like for the work sessions and town hall meetings, he always calls and asks if I have to be there tonight.
Okay, so Councilmember Dee, so back to my statement. I think that if you feel that you see something on the agenda and you have concerns, I would strongly suggest calling and talking to the city attorney, going over your concerns, letting the mayor know your concerns, and then those two and with you can get together and say, okay, maybe we do need you at this meeting. So if the mayor puts out the agenda and we come and there's no attorney here, that's because not one of us, not five members or anybody got a hold of the attorney
or
the mayor.
You should call me first before you go to the attorney and ask the question.
And all I'm asking is it in the, to be aware of if he is or is, I was wondering, is there an email like where they'll say, okay, our attorney will not be attending this meeting, so we're also aware of, I don't know, just
well,
was
that's,
wondering.
And that, that's a good, you know, I mean, there's nothing that says it wouldn't be good to have an email that just says the attorney wouldn't be attending this meeting.
Or I'm just thinking when we got our books for the future meeting, it would be, this has been reviewed and Attorney Lennon would not be attending this. I don't know. So we're aware.
Well, sometimes it's not even till the same day that she called me.
Okay. Yeah.
Because I don't know when they read the agenda either.
Yeah, they're probably not. Just knowing
not
how,
that I need to turn it
over,
I'm just wondering,
operate,
you know, it's nice to know.
They're looking at it 15 minutes before they walk out the door. I mean, because they've got so many other things on their plate, they don't look at it a week in advance like we may do.
Okay.
And we could always table an item, right?
Yes.
If we wanted to. You can postpone it to a different meeting if you're not comfortable with the explanation.
If there's questions that come up and the mayor or Andy or Seth may say, well, that's a question for the attorney.
Right.
And we're like, okay, the attorney's not here. Mm-hmm. So let's put it to our following meeting so we can get those questions
answered. So try to use the word postpone, because table usually means you move it to the end of the meeting and then you discuss it before the end of the meeting. So postpone is to a date certain.
And that's the whole thing too, is that when we postpone, we will say, this will be postponed to the second meeting in April.
Okay.
And then we'll know that that's a for sure date. It's not going to just go into the great abyss of it's just going away. We're not doing that anymore.
So that's a good question, because that has happened where we've been at a meeting and no attorney's here. And we've had to postpone or put it to another date certain so the attorney can go over that. And had we all contacted the mayor and said, here's my concern, or you know, sometimes when you leave your committee meetings, you may have other questions, you know, a couple days later, it's like, oh, well, what about this? Mm-hmm. It's always good to go back and talk to staff about that, so then they can follow up with the attorney, so that there isn't that chance where we're up here asking questions, and then we find out he's not here.
Okay. So moving on to page 23, section 18, council committees and citizen advisory boards. In the past, we had committee chairs, but our committees don't really work function that way. We don't need a chair and a vice chair and a whatever chair. And once we get a community development director, I think that's the other committee you're on besides parks. We actually did have a parks meeting, what, a week or two ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But we sit down like we're doing here, and we have a conversation. The staff prepares the agenda. They're the ones that bring forward the resolutions or ordinance changes or contracts, whatever it may be, that you will discuss in that meeting. But we're all equals in that meeting.
Okay.
And so there's no reason to have the committee chair assignment. So in 18.1.2, we're going to delete anything that says committee chair. In 18.1.3, we're going to delete A and B, and then we will renumber the rest of them. And I
Jay.
Think you have another one?
Jay.
Jay. We're going to change J. Where's my J?
We change that to just like majority of the committee? Or?
We're going to say the audience participation at a council standing committee meeting is not allowed. The reason for having the committee chair, or the committee meetings, the standing committee meetings, is for the staff, the mayor, and the council members to get up to speed on what's going on. The public has ample opportunity during the public comment period or public hearing to voice.
Or to call the staff members.
Or to call the staff members.
Or send emails or
whatever they want to do.
Give their input, but not at that meeting.
Because during a committee meeting, part of the idea of the committee meeting is to get the council up to speed and not necessarily, I mean, if the public has a question, they can call. But the point is not to waste any more staff time than necessary during that meeting.
And we try to keep
we're
meetings,
really busy yeah. right now, so yeah. we have to be yeah. really careful of people's time.
And we
time.
Try to keep the meetings to less than an hour if we can. So, and just so that you know, Chris, 18.1.4 just lists the different committees that we have. These have all functioned very well in the past, and they're now functioning very well presently.
Good.
And so I'm on the Parks Committee with you.
Okay.
And so we do have some stuff coming up. And so if you have questions, you can call me or you can call Seth. And we can work
you're
out.
You're on another committee with myself, too.
You're on
safety.
You're on public safety.
And I was on with the
Community, planning a community service.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that'll get up and running at some point.
Oh.
But we don't have a community development director right now, so we're kind of working on changing some things within.
And so much of it, what's going on now too, is related to the MDRT. That it's all handled by Andy. Okay, then I think the only other change is. It's called the severability clause. Not a savings clause. Basically, what this says is if court finds any one single part of these rules to be invalid, then the rest of the document is still good. Because if you don't have a severability clause, if any part of it is ruled invalid, the whole document is invalid and illegal. And so,
we don't want that to
happen. No, we don't want that. So,
so before you go on, I'd like to go back to page 3, 4, and 5. Our attorney Linham had other suggestions, so maybe we can look at that really quick. 2.4, he just suggested maybe instead of saying special council meeting, it should say work session. So maybe we can look at that again.
Because a special council meeting is what we call for an event that we need to do a special meeting for, that's not going to include in a work study.
Well, this is supposed to be the work session.
But there are special meetings.
There are special meetings.
That happen.
But you have to put this into context. This is the sentence that starts with town hall meetings, meeting now semi-annually, March and October, on the second Thursday of the month, following the special council meeting. So do we want to say it's a work session?
I think so.
I mean, there's no harm in it, because usually a special.
Yeah.
Usually a special council meeting is on a different day.
Right.
That's right.
Okay.
Or it can be on the same day, just not at a, usually a special council meeting is when it's not regularly scheduled. Our work sessions are regularly scheduled through an ordinance. A special meeting comes into play when it's not.
So this just should say.
Right.
Following the regular work session.
Yes.
Regular work session.
Right. Oh, I'll put in regular. Okay. Okay.
Good catch.
It's David's catch. So on the same same 2.4, but on the next page, page 4. So he had a pretty long comment here, so I'll just read. Under the statute, the council meeting may proceed without the mayor as long as there is a quorum. If the mayor or mayor pro tem wants to cancel a meeting, but a quorum of the council wants to proceed anyway, is this rule intended to give the mayor or the mayor pro tem veto authority to prevent the meeting from occurring? And is the reference to the mayor pro tem only applicable if the mayor is absent or unavailable? Or is the intention that the mayor pro tem always has the ability to cancel a meeting? So.
Okay, so when I wrote that, I'm coming in with the understanding that the mayor pro tem only has a function when the mayor is unavailable.
But you don't need to put that in there.
Or maybe just
remove mayor pro tem.
Strike mayor pro tem?
Yes.
Okay.
Because then it's a given that if I'm not there, the mayor pro tem is in charge.
Right.
And then it would be a vote of the council, as long as there's a quorum, you know, that we can continue.
Right.
Or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so
we're just going to delete mayor pro tem in that one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so the page 5, he has two areas. One is 2.8, all the way down at the bottom. He says, just a suggestion to include in the council rules regarding violation of executive session confidentiality. This could affirmatively be placed in rule 21.2.
Oh, so what he's saying, where he added that
highlight.
The highlighted section, we could put it in 21.2.
Yeah.
Oh, back on the end where it talks about
Under the confidentiality, where we talk about, it's on page 27, where we talk about executive session.
Well,
then at that point, is it redundant?
Yes.
If you removed it from here and put it over there.
But we're talking about executive sessions.
Yeah.
I would just leave it there.
I would leave it there, personally.
Okay.
Yeah, I would leave it there.
So then the last one is 2.12, disruption of meetings. His comment was, who gets to make
the call?
Did we
already discuss that?
Mayor or majority
of the council.
Oh, I think that was the other. There was two places where he commented like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, where's 421? That was what he referred to. 421 says, preserve order and decorum at all meetings of the council and cause the removal of any person from any meeting for disorderly conduct. That's presiding officer's responsibility.
All right, that's it.
Yeah, okay.
Nice.
Anybody have any other comments, questions, concerns?
Nope.
No.
I like it.
I think
It's something you can all live with?
I can live with it.
Okay.
And if not, we can amend it, right?
Yes.
We can amend this at any time with a majority, with a supermajority.
Supermajority.
So we also, somewhere in here, and I don't have it off the top of my head, it used to be that you could change the council rules with just a majority vote.
Three votes.
And in the past 2 years, the minority never got a vote. So we have changed that to supermajority. So it would have to be 4 out of 5 or 5 out of 7 when we go to the 7-member council. And that's a protection for the minority. Now, I don't see us having those kinds of issues, a majority-minority. We haven't used that term at all this year. But it's a protection so that if it happens again, people still get a vote.
The difference between a democracy and a republic.
Yeah. So I think based on that, I will get with you, Brenda, next week. Or you're out next week.
I'm out.
She's got class.
I'm here Monday and half day on Tuesday.
Okay, but Monday's kind of, I don't know, Monday afternoon, I guess.
Yeah, we can do Monday afternoon after the.
Because I can't do it in the morning.
Well, we can do it after the.
After, yeah.
And then because then she won't be around and. If we want to get them on the first meeting in April,
I'm here until the 22nd, so we've got plenty of time.
Oh, okay, yeah, you still have the
but
next.
But why don't we?
Extra week because there's 5 Thursdays.
Right. And I'm unavailable the last week and a half of March.
Right. We can work on it that day.
All right. So I'll get this all.
Yep. I know.
And you've got your notes and we'll compare and you've got a version that we can mark up and make it look pretty and format it correctly. Okay, great. So with that, I move that we adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Meeting adjourned.
Thank you.